The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Cinema by the Campfire, where I reminisce and analyze the films I believe have really influenced the world of cinema. I'm your host, Odyssey, and it's my job to take you on that journey. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to episode 4 of Cinema by the Campfire. I'm your host, Odyssey, and today we'll be talking about one genre of film that holds a special place in my heart, that being biopics. Also known as a biographical picture, Oxford Languages defines it as a movie dramatizing the life of a particular person, typically a public or historical figure. Using one of my favorite movies as an example, Catch Me If You Can, made in 2002, it focuses on the life of con artist Frank Abagnale and how he forged his way to becoming a pilot, doctor, and a lawyer, doing this all while running from the FBI. I recommend it if you haven't watched it. The genre is pretty common. There are tons of them that come out every year. Now, there's a subcategory I want to focus on, that being biopics about musicians. These fit together as their own group because certain elements appear in the lives of most famous musicians. The frequency of music biopics has increased. In the past 20 years, we've had Ray, Walk the Line, Straight Outta Compton, Rocket Man, All Eyes on Me, and famously, Bohemian Rhapsody, which is now the highest grossing biopic of all time. The music biopic is bigger than ever and shows no signs of slowing down, and I have no problem with the idea of music biopics. My issue is with the approach the majority of them take. When making one of these movies, I think there's one essential question that needs to be asked. What is the best way to tell the story of an amazing life? These are movies about amazing, unique people who lived amazing, unique lives. And for decades, the way Hollywood has chosen to tell the stories of those lives is with the same repetitive formula, applied the same way. So let's break down that formula, shall we? Usually, the movie begins late in the subject's career, right before they go on stage for an iconic performance. Then it jumps back to their childhood, where some sort of tragedy occurs. Maybe a sibling dies, or a parent abandons them. Then, once they're older, there's the moment of discovery when they sing in front of strangers, who are immediately blown away by their talent. And then suddenly, we jump to performances in front of fans. Also the scene where they record their first song, then have to win over a producer. And the moment that song becomes a radio hit, and then they're on tour. This is where the film goes really heavy on the montages. And we get to the point where they start innovating and pushing their music forward, which tends to them starting to take drugs. Then there are more montages of their marriage becoming worse due to cheating or drug use. And then we hit the dark period. They isolate themselves from the people closest to them and are rarely sober, and usually eventually go to rehab. Then they clean up, get back to the music, play a big, amazing concert, and it ends on a freeze frame. And then there's always some text telling us what happened to them in the remaining years of their life. One could argue that this is simply telling what happened in the person's life. And it is, but there's a difference between summarizing events and telling a story. The film Ray ends with Ray Charles going to rehab for a drug addiction, and then the text tells us that he never took drugs again. If you just look at the ending, you'd think the focus of the film was Ray Charles's battle with drugs, but it's not that. It's just a small part of it, but because the biopic formula is so rigid, the filmmakers have crammed his life story into it and tried to make it fit. And what we're left with is a story that doesn't seem to have a point. The film has to end with some kind of victory, and so here, the victory is over drug addiction. By adhering to this formula and trying to fit so many decades of a person's life into a single film, it almost always does the story a disservice. You can tell that the filmmakers want to include as many noteworthy events as possible, but the more they do try to fit it all in, the less time and attention each one receives. It ends up skimming the surface of the story, leaping from one event to another. Difficult subjects like drug addiction or domestic abuse become predictable tropes that arrive around the same point in every film. The latter half of Straight Outta Compton turns into a checklist of events. Snoop Dogg shows up, Tupac shows up, Ice Cube writes a screenplay for Friday. Dr. Dre's first album is reduced to a billboard on screen for 4 seconds. Eazy-E dies 6 minutes after his AIDS diagnosis. In order to fit the full span of events into 2 hours, the narrative is simplified. It's why every musician seems to do one public performance and immediately is on a sold-out tour. It's why 1 minute of inspiration cuts to a hit song already written. It would be nice if the film cared just a little bit about the creative process. Bohemian Rhapsody alters actual history in order to fit into the formula. In the film, Freddie Mercury tells the rest of Queen about his AIDS diagnosis when trying to convince them to reunite for the Live Aid performance, when in reality, he didn't get the diagnosis until 2 years later. But who cares, as long as the film can have a triumphant final performance in the face of impending death. And it also made it seem like Queen was solely responsible for raising all the money to help Africa. If you just follow the formula, you got a new movie. What childhood tragedy? What drug are they addicted to? Which family member doesn't believe in them? What location does their meltdown happen? It might sound like I'm being picky about people's actual lives, but that's what these movies have done. They've turned real people's complicated lives into cliches. If I had to point at a singular problem with all these music biopics, it's that they don't know what they want to say or what story they want to tell. There seems to be the idea that because these are great people, their stories need to be handled in a way that is respectable, one that showcases all the struggles and triumphs. They feel the need to encompass their entire life in order to express how great they were. But at the end of most of these movies, the only real idea that has been expressed is this person went through a lot and was really great. Instead of stories, these feel like cinematic Wikipedia articles. There's another element that can't be overlooked when it comes to biopics, and that's that most of them are made with the approval or at least involvement of either the subject themselves or their estate. So in almost every case, we're getting a portrayal that has been checked by people with a stake in the story to make sure the picture being painted is a flattering one. I mean, in Straight Outta Compton, Ice Cube is a producer and his own son plays him. This doesn't always visibly affect the final product, but then sometimes it does. Like in Bohemian Rhapsody, which has two members of Queen as executive producers. It's a safe bet that this is partly responsible for some of the questionable editing to make sure each band member has an equal number of close-ups, even when it harms the rhythm of the scene. Even affecting some of the story choices, in which the non-Freddie Mercury members of the band are portrayed as the responsible, hardworking ones, leaving parties early to be with their families, and always showing up to the studio on time, while Freddie is the only one to live a rockstar lifestyle, and constantly lets down the rest of the band. The music biopic genre should have changed for the better in 2007, because that was the year that Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, was released. Directed by Jade Kasten, there have been plenty of parody films made over the years, but I've never watched one so thoroughly demolish an entire genre. Walk Hard tells the story of fictional country musician, Dewey Cox, and around him creates a biopic that satirizes every single trope of the genre. It starts like so many others with the present day framing device where Dewey Cox needs to think about his entire life before he plays, and then works its way through the biopic formula, checking off every single box along the way. There's a childhood tragedy, the disapproving parents, the disapproving first wife, the moment of discovery, the recording session where the cynical producer is won over, the montages of touring and having affairs, drug addiction, violent freak out, and so on. And of course, it ends with a freeze frame in text. What makes Walk Hard special is that beyond just the formula, it nails the look and feel of a biopic. Everything that's happening in it is funny looking, but it's shot like a serious film. It's so specific in its lampooning of biopic tropes that after watching it, it's very hard to take one of these movies seriously. And if you don't know what lampooning is, it's to criticize something using irony or sarcasm. It's similar to a parody. But once you've seen Dewey Cox tearing a sink out of a wall, it's hard not to laugh when Johnny Cash does it. Once you've seen Dewey Cox freaking out in rehab, it's hard not to laugh when Ray Charles does the same thing. The key thing that Walk Hard understands is the self-importance of the music biopics. The belief that this is an important story about an important person. But tragically, Walk Hard flopped hard when it was released. It barely made half its budget back. If it had been a hit, one could imagine it having some kind of impact. Maybe more filmmakers would think twice before making another formulaic biopic. If we're talking about biopics that span a decade or more, there's one filmmaker who's proved over and over again that he knows how to make it work, and that's Martin Scorsese. A critically acclaimed director who's made biopics that have won many awards. Films like Goodfellas, The Aviator, and The Wolf of Wall Street. Scorsese tells stories following real-life protagonists through decades of their lives. These are all biopics with linear timelines, but they're entertaining and exciting when most others are dull and contain the formula. What separates him from the others is that he doesn't try to fit a person's entire life into one movie. Instead, he picks a specific story to tell. Let's look at The Aviator. This is a movie about Howard Hughes, a guy who has done so much. He has such an interesting life that it would take a whole series of movies to cover it all. But Scorsese is focused on one specific thing. The idea of obsession, and how it manifests through Hughes' love of aviation. The brief scene of Hughes as a child is there to set up his obsessive germophobia, which would grow throughout his life. But then the story jumps ahead to Hughes in production of his first movie, Hell's Angels, and it specifically focuses on his obsessive commitment to perfecting the scenes with airplanes. Instead of the usual biopic that feels like one big montage, by focusing strictly on Hughes' growing obsession, his worsening OCD, and the effect it had on his work and relationships, Scorsese crafts a film that feels like an actual story, not a shallow summary of a life. The opening section is devoted to the production of Hell's Angels and Hughes' relationship with Katharine Hepburn, then later has increased focus on airplane innovation, and then in his battle with the US government and struggle to finish the Spruce Goose, which was a prototype flying boat he tried making before he died. even when the story is taking big leaps forward in time, there's always a primary goal or obstacle in sight. The film ends with Hughes' obsession, having given him a great professional victory while taking a devastating toll on his personal life and the functioning of his mind. The Aviator is not the story of Howard Hughes. It is a story about Howard Hughes, and that's why it works. This is what biopics need to focus on to be successful. Rather than trying to squeeze an entire life into 1 to 2 hours, focus on one aspect of that person's life and stick with it. Anyways, that'll conclude episode 4 of Cinema by the Campfire. I hope you enjoyed today's topic. I thought it was a pretty interesting genre. Make sure to tune in next week for another exciting episode. So, let's put out the campfire. I was your host, Odyssey. Thank you so much for listening.